Faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 11, if you will. I'd like us to notice just a couple of things in this one verse, and then we can move on. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'd like to draw our attention to two words. One is that follows faith, and the other for, which follows hope or hoped. If you notice, after hoped, for puts it in the future. Faith, on the other hand, is not the same word as was, nor will be. Faith is. Faith has to operate in today. So tonight we're going to look at faith versus hope. One of the first and greatest differences that there is between faith and hope, though they work together, is that one works in the now and the other works in the tomorrow. One is evident now, the other has to wait for the manifestation. And it can only be satisfied when it sees the manifestation, because it's waiting for the things it hopes for, whereas faith isn't waiting. Faith doesn't have to see the manifestation at all of anything, because it has it already. It's the substance. Faith is the substance. Faith is the substance. So therefore, if it has the substance, it doesn't have to wait for the substance. It doesn't need the manifestation of the substance. It doesn't need to look forward to the day where it can have the substance. Faith is the substance. Faith is the substance of the things hoped for. So here we see the connection of the two. Basically, I'd like to show us that faith and hope are basically one thing. And if you were to draw a line anywhere on your paper, on the ground, in your imagination, wherever you draw the line, when you draw a line, you have a point at which you begin and you have a point at which you end. And it wouldn't matter how you drew it, whether you did it in circles and squares and triangles, there's going to be a time where you quit drawing. And at that point where you quit, that's hope. At the point where you begin, that's faith. Because faith is the substance of that hoped for. And so faith and hope are the same thing. It's the same line that you draw. It's just that faith is at the beginning and hope is at the end. Most of us confuse one with the other. But once we understand the differences, you will very clearly know if what you have in any given circumstance of life is really faith or hope. So let's go on with this. Amplify says, now faith is. So it's a double positive now, because now faith is already tells you it's in the tense of presence. It's not is, cannot be used in the future tense. So the word now that the Amplified added just puts emphasis on it. Now faith is the substance, the confirmation, the title deed. So before you really live in the house, and before you really think that you own it or not, and before you wonder, God promised you a house, and his words came to you, and faith leaped at those words and took hold of it. Now, faith already has the title deed. Of course, you haven't bought it yet. You don't even have the money for it. But faith already has the title deed. Faith already owns it, because faith already saw it from the beginning, and faith believes. So faith took it. Faith at the time of hearing and seeing took it, received it. It wasn't granted. The time of manifestation for us was when at the lawyer's office, the title deed was signed over to our name. That's the manifestation of it. But faith had that title deed when God spoke it, because it received the title deed from God at the moment that God spoke it, because God's words are so sure you can count on them. So it, from the very beginning, it started thanking God because there was going to be a house like that. That happened to us. Someone prophesied to us just a few months before through some prophet. This lady prophesied to us. Never seen us before in our life, didn't even know who we were. And says, God says he's going to give you a house. It's not going to be a shack either. It's going to be a really nice house. Well, I must tell you, just to be a little bit honest here before you tonight, my wife had faith. So she had the title deed while we were still living in the trailer. Kept talking about it. She was sure as can be. It was just a matter of when. I had hope. Seeing is believing. She wouldn't give it up. No, God said it wouldn't be a shack, it'd be a home. Honey, we don't even have a down payment. Doesn't matter. How's going to happen, I don't know. We lived there, and for 6 months, we looked everywhere. Finally, one day I said to my wife, you know what? I'm sick of going out there and going everywhere and looking for houses. That's it. You know, maybe God meant sometime in the future. That's how hope talks. Faith says no. God saw it already. He had it ready already. I received it when she said it. I've already got it. I don't know why it's taken so long to materialize, but I already got it. And it's not a shack either. Well, how do you know? Because that's what he said. So when it came to this particular situation, I'd given up looking for houses. She went out alone here, there, and everywhere. But all her efforts didn't count for anything either because we didn't find nothing. Finally, one day, Myra out of the blue just calls us. She said, a house just came up on the market. It's repossessed. It's in a beautiful area. He said, and you can buy it for 50 cents on the dollar. In fact, to not lose it, let's offer them, what was it, $500 more than they're asking just to make sure we don't lose it. And we're looking at each other. And so we went to see it. Within a week or so, God provided us miraculously through different people that found out a down payment. We put a down payment on the house, and then after that, God kept providing money. A person walked up to us when they found out that it didn't have an air conditioner that worked and gave us the money to put a new air conditioner in. And one thing led to another, and one thing led to another. We fixed the house up. That's the one we're living on the lake today. It's a nice house. Come and see it. You see, faith had the title deed already 8 months before the act. Hope, however, now don't look at me like that. Hope, however, had to wait the 8 months until it got the title deed. Now that's the difference between faith and hope. Hope has to wait to get the title deed. Faith already has it. Because when God speaks it, it is so sure it can't be any other way. So the way we do it is, doth God say, hath God said, is this God that said this? Because if he could, you know, you can't just tell somebody, well, God's a liar. They ain't a Christian in the world, however, silly, stupid, drunk, or whatever, is going to buy that one. So he can't, the devil can't come and tell you, look, God just lied to you. No way. But he can tell you, boy, that was a wonderful word. I bet you the flesh would have really liked to hear that. I'll bet you it's ego that was all behind this, wasn't it? You got to be careful about words that feed your ego. Be very careful about words that the flesh really likes. I mean, I like that word. Believe me. Faith and hope. You see, this is what we need to understand that God wants us to know, is that most of us live in the realm of faith, of hope instead of faith. And we'd have such marvelous lives. We'd come in here bouncing for joy. We'd come in here. Do you know how many precious promises we have from God that are just waiting to materialize until we get happy and faith lays hold of it? So there's a receiving and there's a granting. Her faith received the title deed the day it was spoken. My hope waited for the title deed until it was granted. So one thing is receiving and the other is granted. Is it any more real that I have it in my hand than it is that God had it in his hand and handed it to me by faith? Who really had that house for me? When God spoke it, he already saw which one it was. The people were in financial crisis because it took them 8 months to finally give up the ghost. God said, I've gone down there. I've looked at it. It's a real nice home. I know, Robert, you really like lakes. I got something nice for you. I've got it already targeted. Do you want the title deed? Receive it. You got it. People say, hey, you haven't got it. Yeah, you do. God said it. It can't be any otherwise. It has to happen. Oh, in this life or next, there's faith and there's hope. He shall rise again. Well, in the second life, is it? Jesus spoke faith into Mary, and she spoke back what? Hope. And so we play this trick. The devil can't come and tell us that God's a liar. But if he can keep us in the realm of hope, is it hope that makes things happen, or is it faith that's the evidence of things not seen? You see, faith is the substance. The substance is the title deed. Faith has it already. And we would do ourselves such a favor to live in faith and not hope. Oh. Because then we wouldn't go through all these long, hard nights of depression waiting for the promise. Did it make a difference whether these great men in Hebrews 11 died without ever seeing the promise? No. Was faith cheated? No. Was hope cheated? Oh, yeah. Hope was denied. They're going to have to wait till who knows when to see the fulfillment of their prophecy. With Abraham, hope got cheated for 400 years after he was dead. God had told them they were going to go to Egypt, they were going to come out of Egypt, and they were going to come and possess the land where he was living. And God had given it to him. That's why I said they died without ever seeing the fulfillment of their promise. It doesn't matter. They had the title deed to all of the land of Canaan. He already had the title deed to every one of those cities. Before they ever waged war, before they ever won the war over their cities, before they ever conquered those kings, he already had the title deed to those properties. He already had their inheritance divided for them. The place of their inheritance he already had by faith. Do you know why Joshua was able several hundred years later to stand up and divide the land to the children of Israel? Because Abraham had the title deed of it several hundred years ago. When God spoke it to him, he had it. The time of the king's cup of wickedness hadn't been filled yet, so he just had to wait until it was filled. But however it was, from the day God spoke it, every single king that reigned in the land of Canaan had an X put on their land, and the title deed was already signed over to somebody else. Because God said, I own the earth and all that is in it. So in heaven, God made a secret deal with the man out in the wilderness and in a tent where nobody, not even goats, would live. God Almighty came down and signed title deed over to 500,000 acres. Like a Teddy Roosevelt would do for a national park. Those kings were ruling on property that wasn't theirs. Guess what's going to happen to the Palestinians? They own it. They're living there. They even press Israel back. But I'll tell you what, I know who's got the title deed to all that over there, including the Iraqis. Hey. I think that sometimes we give over to this place of hope so much that we confuse it with faith. And my purpose tonight is to unconfuse our mind and hearts between these two things called faith and hope. Each have their place because hope is the fulfillment. At the time, just before God is going to fulfill, just before God is going to let hope have its way and manifest whatever faith had hung on to all those years, he's going to give you another word for something else. Why? Because God loves those that walk by faith. So if everything God's told you is already being fulfilled now, he's going to speak to you something else so that you have to keep living by faith, because the just will live by faith. Sometimes he'll juggle three or four of them. If you're big enough to handle it, he'll give you three or four tremendous words over your life. Well, God, look at us. I don't even have a home. We're living in with somebody else, and you've given us all these promises. What's this? Well, go ahead. Live by hope and live miserable. Or get over in the camp of faith and say, I got the title deed to everything. God said, look at the style of life we're going to have. Look what God's saying. I've got it already. I'm living piled up with 17 people in my house, and I'm living like I'm alone on a lake somewhere. Hey, Lily, hey, Telama. God says we will be well, and by his stripes we are healed. It might take a while for that manifestation to take place, but my husband is perfectly healed. I felt that go somewhere. And so something has to take place in our heart to where we can live by faith. Then we can start having what we need so desperately long before it actually manifests in our life. which could be 5 years later, 3 years later, 10 years later. It'd have been a longer wait of faith. Hope would have had to almost give up if it had been 8 years instead of 8 months for our house. Here it is. God sees in the future. He sees what it is, and he never lies. And so the devil, who cannot tell us that God's just a big liar, he says, well, you know, he's going to do it. But he's everlasting. And remember, there's a lot of things he said to the people, like it says in Hebrews 11, that they all died without seeing the fulfillment of them. Well, listen, I'll say this, that they all died without seeing the fulfillment of some of the things that God said to them, but they all lived and saw the fulfillment of hundreds and hundreds of others. They didn't all die without seeing any of them fulfilled. What kind of a God would that be? They got 95 of them, 95 out of the 100 fulfilled, and God left 5 of them so that faith could keep holding on in heaven for when they came back to new earth, they would have a title deed. I don't just want a title deed for a home in Atlanta on this earth, number one. When he burns it all up and creates a new one, I already, by faith, have inheritance in that land. I have a title deed of that peace, because it's going to be a Jerusalem from which God reigns, and I'm going to have a title deed in Jerusalem. Some people are running right now and getting title deeds for Jerusalem now in this life. Honey, that's too short of a vision. Get yourself a better vision. Get some words of God for a home. Get a word of God for a ranch with a bunch of horses. Amen. In the second world, we're coming back to, the ones the meek inherit. Have him speak a word into your spirit, because that's the enduring one. The only thing enduring we've got is the word of God and the blood of Jesus. All the rest is in the law. Nothing else. Well, I'm thankful to have a title deed here now, but it's not the real one. It's not the real one. I'm going to die, and my hope's still going to be unfulfilled. I'll tell you why. Because I've got some promises from God that go way beyond this little sucker, way beyond my little short 80, 90, 100 years, way beyond my little tiny short span on this earth. Some of the promises that God has given me go on unfolding forever and ever and ever and ever. And I come back here and I keep ministering. And I'm in heaven and I keep ministering. Some of the callings and anointings of God, he said, that are without recall are forever and ever 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 and ever. Anointing never runs out. Purposes of God never run out. The words that God has given me are forever words. God is a forever God. Everything comes out of his mouth, it's a forever thing. Okay, Solomon warned us in Proverbs 4:23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Okay, so now we're going to go back to this issue of faith being now and hope later. We're going to finish up over there, but I'd like to leave it for just a minute and talk about another difference of faith versus hope, and that is that faith has to do with the heart. And Solomon said, watch over your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows or springs forth every issue in life. Everything that finally decides the course of our life really proceeds from the heart. We have to know that the heart has a lot to do with every issue that comes in our life. True biblical faith proceeds from the heart and determines the way of our life. It is real. It is an active force that works within. However, God does not leave the mind without its proper provision. So God made a provision for our heart, and God made a provision for our mind. And faith works in the heart. With the heart, man believeth unto salvation. God made it so that faith needs a heart to understand it, to captivate it, to act on it, because the heart is the one that will eventually get you to do. However, the mind wants to know. Haven't you ever been in this situation when God gives you a word and now you want to know how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen? All these questions, that's the mind. It wants to get in on it. Anytime it finds out faith knows something, it wants to know. It's like it wants to pull its tongue. I got to know. God made a provision for the mind. The provision for the heart is faith. The provision for the mind, wouldn't you know? It's hope. All right. Faith at work in the heart produces hope in the mind. We see this in the definition of faith that we have already examined in Hebrews 11, chapter 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith in the heart is the substance, the underlying reality. Paul mentioned the different areas of our personality that are affected by faith and those that are affected by hope. So look at these in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of our salvation. So right here, we clearly see that there is a breastplate. Where, what part of the body does the breastplate cover? What place does a helmet cover? So faith and love corresponds to the breastplate. Let me just say this. The devil will work on you until you give up your faith. You have to take your breastplate off, because as long as you're believing what God said, as long as you receive what God said, you have a breastplate that's protecting you. Because the devil, anytime he hears God say something to you, he's going to come and attack it. Sometimes I've seen people, when words of prophecy are giving over to them, the first thing he says to them, that wasn't God. They spoke that to you in the flesh. They've got something out for you. He'll try everything in the world to convince you that wasn't God, because if he can do that, he stripped you from your breastplate, and the breastplate is your protection. It protects all your chest, your vital organs in this area. It protects. And so if he can strip you from that protection, faith and love operate in this area. Faith and love, compassion, all. Faith has to work through something, a vehicle. Just like some things are waterborne and other things are airborne, and whatever, faith has to work in love. They have to work together. Faith needs a vehicle. It needs something to transport itself with, and love is what it uses. Both of them are connected to the heart of man, not the head. But then God has given us a provision, because if the devil can remove your breastplate, he can mess you up in your emotions, because the heart is the emotions. So now you're feeling depressed. You're feeling unbelief. You're feeling down, because the beautiful promise, the hope that was given to you when God first spoke it, is like, wow, I feel good. That feeling just popped, all right? The moment he can convince you that might have been not been God or whatnot, he has just messed up your emotions. And so now I don't have them covered, so now I'm going through a period of life where some of the things that I was really, you know, I was really inspired by, now it's just gone. It's just like, I don't think this is going to happen. So now what's the next thing he's going to try to take? Your hope. It's never going to happen. 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 See, 3 years have gone by. God's still not talking to you. Hope deferred makes a person most miserable. And so if he's already stolen your faith, and so all those vibrant feelings that come to make you positive and optimistic and everything else, whew, those got blown out. And so now you're left with hope. Well, I hope so, Lord. You know, one time God spoke something to me, and I still think it's going to happen. Think it's going to happen. So where are you operating? In the think area, in the mind. Well, if you're still hoping, if you're still thinking it might happen, you still have a helmet on. You're still halfway protected. Better yet would be to let him have your helmet. But if you were in war, which one would you give up? If you went to war, which you'd give up? Well, let's see. They can shoot my head off. The rest of me can still work pretty good. Oh, let's see. I need my head, you know. I mean, everybody needs their head. Why don't I just let them shoot my heart out? Boom. Okay. All right, now. Look, everybody, I'm alive. Yeah, see? Yeah, yeah. All right? We don't need to give up either one of them. We need to have that vibrant, expectant, happy, I've got it. I've got the title deed to this new house, and start enjoying it before it ever exists. Faith and love are the breastplate, and the breastplate protects the heart, and hope is a helmet. In distinguishing faith from hope, I do not mean to belittle hope. Hope is, in the biblical sense, is the confident expectation of good. Now let me say this. A steady, persistent optimism. Hope protects our mind. That is, we know it's going to happen. I don't know when, I don't know how, but we still have hope. Do you notice how many things you can still endure if you still have hope? It gets pretty miserable. Why? Because faith has already been given up. It gets pretty miserable. He's already gotten through to our emotions. He's already gotten through to all that area of our moods and everything else. And we give faith up too easy, you know. We give faith up. We give hope up less easy than we do faith. Did you know that? I don't know which one of the two is most important, but I can tell you that hope won't keep you happy until the answer comes. Hope can't be happy until the answer comes. Hope can only be fulfilled when it happens. Hope can only be fulfilled when we were sitting down at the lawyer's office and he was signing the title deed. And I said, you know what? God said that. My wife had already sat down at that office 8 months before and enjoying it. Where are you going, honey? I'm going up to get my house. Where? Doesn't matter. I know it's out there. I'll bump into it. God said. Some days I'd even get annoyed at her. Because just before she'd leave, she'd say, it won't be a shack either. And a house that doubled in price within 2 years. Why? Because someone still believed. Someone held the title deed. So it had to materialize. Because someone held on to the title deed. God gives you something, you give it up. Somebody's got to receive it. Hang on to those thoughts. Somebody has to receive it. You have to receive it. If there's an inheritance for you, you've got to go to the lawyer's office and receive it. If you receive a call, you can go shouting down the neighborhood all you want. I got an inheritance. I got an inheritance. But you better get in your car and you better get down there and get it. It might take a year before it goes through all the courts and all the systems and whatever, but you better go down there and get the piece of paper. Faith receives it the moment God speaks it and hangs on to it. Now, faith, because it's a substance, because it knows so well that it has it already, when you have something, don't you enjoy it already? I mean, if someone just dropped a new house in your hands and you went in and started living in it, at what point in how many years that you'd be in there would you begin to enjoy your house? From the moment you what? Yeah. So faith already starts enjoying, and you start feeling its uplifting feelings in your heart, and it makes you feel so optimistic and so great. Oh, flush it down the drain. Who knows? Was that God? I don't know. The devil hates for you to feel that good. On this earth, how many of God's words to us have we thrown out the window because the preacher was just, you know, too angry with me or too upset with my uncle or whatever? Or because it was a preacher, talk to me directly, Lord. Or maybe because it didn't come through my preacher, it just came through my neighbor that sits by me in church.
That's a good one right there.
Every Christian should wear his helmet of hope 24 hours a day. Let me tell you this. Don't lay aside this helmet and don't lay aside your breastplate. Let's learn to hang on. As I've told you the negative side of this one story, I can tell you the positive side of other stories. When God had us involved in the property of what would be today over $1 million in Argentina, when none of us had but the comparable of all of us put together maybe $2,000 toward this property, and God said, buy it. I knew we had the title deed. And against all the odds and against all the things that were spoken and said to me to discourage me, I never left over. I never gave up that title deed. I knew that God had said we would get it. Do you realize that within something like 3 weeks, from people I did not know, from around the world, checks came pouring into our postal system down in Argentina that totaled over $40,000. We're talking about 30, 40 years ago. That represents, I don't know, but it represents a good $200,000 today. And that gave us enough down payment to get in and make the payments. He wanted to make the deal in dollars, and our deal was that we would make it only in pesos. That was the deal. What happened is that the peso devaluated against the dollar, and the dollar became 1,000 to 1 pesos. So what was a payment of $2,000 a month, divide that by 1,000, and you've got $2 a month. Imagine how many payments I paid up with the $2,000. In 1 month, I paid off the property. The man was crying. He got 10 cents on the dollar on the property when it was through. God wasn't crying because the man was involved in usury and had sent hundreds of thousands of people to an early grave because of the high rates of insurance he slapped on them. And when they couldn't pay, they'd take everything they had. And God took his own personal property away from him. He took us to court and lost the lawsuit and had to pay for it. God buttoned him up. Listen, I knew I had the title deed before it ever happened when I knew I didn't have a dollar for it. There are times in our life you have to hang on. Hope had to wait a couple years before it was paid for. But faith had the title deed before it started. And I don't know why I'm talking about houses, but this could be anything spiritual, natural. It could be anything in our life. It could be even your status with God. Sometimes it takes more faith when God speaks to you. God allows us to go through a time in our life where we are bombarded by demonic attacks on our mind, letting us know how black and how ugly and how terrible we are before God. And He, on the other hand, is saying, I see that you say that you're black, but you are lovely and you are without spot before me. And I see you that way. Well, faith has to lay hold of that. Amen. If we lay aside the helmet and begin to dwell on negative thoughts and gloomy forebodings of mind and vulnerable to Satan's subtle attacks, we're going to discover that he'll take away all joy of our life. I'd like to just say tonight, lack of joy is one of the evidences that you've given up on faith. That's one of the first evidences, because one of the first evidences of faith, when you lay hold of something, God speaks it to you. Didn't you notice how it gave you a just woo? It just gave you a zap inside, and it's just like, yee! Joy. Joy. You come in with a long phase and everything's down. I can tell you what you got rid of. You got rid of your breastplate. You got rid of faith. Because faith walks around in joy. Faith makes everything around it happy. Let's have a party. For what? For this new house. I haven't got one. Yeah, we do. No, we don't. God said, yes, we do, and it's not a shack either. Let's have the party now. No, let's wait until we're sitting at the doctor's office. God said I was going to be healed of all this mess that's happening with me right now, and I'd be traveling around the world. So I'm acting a little bit like I'm healed already, all right? I'm happy about that. I'm happy about the fact I'm not going to have all this stuff, because as far as I'm concerned, I haven't got it already. All this nuisance stuff, I haven't got it. God says, by my stripes you are. So I already have my healing. Now I'm not talking about a house that's not a shack. I am talking about my health. I already have it. So when am I going to start partying? Faith starts right now. Start now. Well, God's given me some tremendous words about my husband, but you know, 3 years has gone by now and it just is getting worse. So when do you plan to start partying?
Well, when I see God change him. Okay, you miserable soul, wait then.
Don't give up hope, because then you'll be more than miserable. You give up hope and then every word God spoke to you won't ever come to pass in your life. That could get dangerous. We give up faith too easy, but let me tell you something. You give up faith and hope too easy and you've just lost what was given to you. And you know what God will do? He said, I'm going to give it to another that appreciates it, because you didn't appreciate it enough to hang on to it. So what was meant for you comes to me. Hey, I got it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I got it. True Christian optimism is not fanciful, nor is it unrealistic. It's not mere wishful thinking. Optimism must be based firmly and exclusively on statements and promises of the Scripture. We must truly believe what it is written in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Here it goes. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purposes for them. If indeed God is working all things together for our good, what room is there left then for anything other but optimism? Now here's a word of God we let go of too easy. Faith starts partying right now. What problem's in your life right now? Well, I don't know. I've been fighting for 2 years over what? It doesn't matter. How many of the situations in your life does all cover? Is health covered? Is financial wealth covered? Is a life of victory and away from sin covered? Is a victorious serving God with happiness and joy covered? All things work together for good for them that love Him. How many hate Him tonight? So what does that make out of this? That all things are going to work together for good. Jesus said, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you have it. When you pray, believe that you receive it. See, faith has to receive it now. It has to have the title deed. Faith, if God said it, it's done. It's not that it's going to be done. It's done already. And I live as if it's done. And I can have the emotions of it already done. And I can know that no matter what my life goes through, He has promised my health. He has promised my healing. And the only time it's going to fail is when I'm leaving here and I won't need it anymore. God came to give us life and life abundantly. You got to die sometime because the Bible said everybody born of a woman will die. It's appointed to man to die once. So you got to get out of here. So everybody naming and claiming that you're going to live because He came to give you life and life abundantly, well, you're going to have it, but until you die. At some point, you're not going to have it for a split second, and then you're going to continue having it forever. However, in applying this verse to our lives, we first need to make sure that we are meeting its conditions. Do we truly love God? Are we seeking to fulfill His purposes in our life? If so, then God is working already everything to our good. God is working. Every event, every circumstance, every situation, together for our good. This leaves only one attitude of mind that we can logically adopt, and that's optimism. So why are we so full of pessimism? Pessimism follows unbelief. Optimism follows faith. Pessimism follows hope. Optimism follows faith. Because faith already has it, so hey, let's party already. No, let's wait. Pessimism. Hope. No, let's wait till we got it. Don't want to keep looking. We got to keep looking. No, I'm giving up. In light of this, for a Christian to be a pessimist is, in fact, a denial of true faith. This example confirms what has already been said. Faith is the only solid basis for hope. Because faith is what initiates the whole thing and keeps you happy until hope can be realized and satisfied. The kind of faith I can feel is usually mental, and it is the substitute for true heart faith. Did you hear that? Let me repeat that. The kind of faith that I can feel, if it becomes feeling, it's hope. Hope is already got, because faith doesn't need feeling. Faith has it. It has it already. Okay? All of us believe that God will heal us sometime in the future. But faith lives in the present, for faith is. If we keep directing our expectation toward the future, we are substituting hope for faith. If we keep putting it off to the future, we are now leaning on hope instead of faith. Because faith is now. I've got this house, it's not a shack. I don't know what it's like, but I know it's not a shack. That much I know. I know I'm healed, and I know what it's like to feel healthy, and I am already. God, it sure doesn't feel like it. Who cares about feeling? Faith can't have feeling. Hope does. Hope says, I sure hope I'll feel better. Sure hope I'll feel better. Sure hope I feel better. Faith says, you got it. You've got it. It's going to manifest any moment now. You've got it. Rejoice that you know how this is going to end up. Rejoice that you're healthy. Rejoice that God has given you a bunch of good health. Okay, let me tell you something that came out of the book of Derek Prince on faith. Years ago, I was in Athens for my studies in Greek antiquity. A friend from the university traveled with me every morning, and we stepped outside a hotel, and every day we did, the group of shoeshine boys was waiting, determined to polish our shoes. If you've ever traveled to the Mediterranean countries, you have no idea how determined these shoeshine boys can be. They will not take no for an answer. We ventured outside our hotel and tried saying, Ochi, which means in Greek, no, and throwing our heads back with a scornful air at the same time. But this simply did not work, for as we even walked, they would be shining our shoes anyway. About the fourth day, my friend tried a different trick. When we stepped outside our hotel, the boys approached us to shine our shoes as usual. This time, my friend looked at them squarely in the face and said, Avrio. They hesitated for a moment, stepped back, and we were able to pass through them. You couldn't possibly guess what Avrio means. It simply means tomorrow. No meant never. Tomorrow, there's still a possibility. So they'd still get a shoe to shine. They just had to wait for it. Years later, He says, I recall this incident. It illustrates so vividly the way the devil sometimes cheats Christians out of what God grants them. When we are seeking healing for ourselves or praying for the salvation of unusual loved ones, the devil does not flatly say to us, you're not going to obtain what you are seeking, you know. He does not say you will not be healed. He does not say your loved one will not be healed. Because if he said that, we would tell him he's a liar. So what does he do? He has to shift us from faith to hope. What's his purpose? His purpose is that at least for the time being, we're not partying. We come to church with a long face. We're in pain, hobbling along. We're not happy. We're not happy campers. Still wrestling with this sin. God, when are you going to heal me? I've healed you already. Have? Yeah, have a party. You're healed. You've got the best medical report already in all your life, right now. The devil says, well, wait a minute. God said you'd be healed, and yes, I can deny that you will be healed, but you know it's not right now. See? Look how you feel. It's just not now. If he said to you, you know what? It's 40 years ahead. You're going to say, uh-uh. But what does the devil say? Avril. Yeah, you'll be healed. God did say that. When? Tomorrow. Do you know what the big disappointment is? When you wake up and discover that it didn't happen. So then you're saying, well, Lord, I thought tomorrow. He said, yes, that's true. What do you mean it's true? Tomorrow. Tomorrow? Oh, okay. Go to bed at night. I can handle tomorrow. I can't handle 40 years, but I can handle tomorrow. Wake up in the morning excited, live all day long. By the time I'm ready for bed at night, I say, God, I feel as miserable as I did yesterday. And you said you were going to heal me. Oh, yes, I did, says the devil. Tomorrow. And tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow turns into tomorrow, turns into tomorrow. What have we lost already? Faith. Where are we living? In hope. As long as we're living in hope, we're half-dressed. But can you imagine going out in public with just a hat on? Do you know that in the spirit world, that's what we look like? You better get dressed, honey. We need to walk in faith. We need to laugh more. We need to party more. We need to dance in this place. We need to live by faith. You know, God's ready to get us. We're you know, here I go tomorrow, you know. But if you know how close, I'm already living the tomorrow now, and I see how close we are to God making us the biggest party of our life where we can be the happiest people in the world, and we should be partying already. There's no reason dragging this off and just living with a hat on. Let's go out dressed. Let's go dressed in an armor when we go to war. We're at war, you know. The devil doesn't give up on us. And so he knows he can't steal something from us. So if he can keep us from living in faith realm and in hope, he's really won something. How many of you have discovered, as we finish here tonight, how many of you discovered that the devil won't quit there? He will keep going until he even takes your hope away. You talk about misery. Misery can be undefinable when you lose hope, when you lose hope about your salvation, about your healing, about your income, about your situation, about the war you're in, about all these circumstances. God said they're all working for good. Just keep loving me. Hang on to the title deed that I have given you. You've got it already. Just start rejoicing. Don't act like old bitter Christians. Do you know what an old bitter Christian is? Someone that no longer, that gave up the faith and gave up the hope and gave up the ghost. That's a bitter Christian. How could they be bitter if they already have everything God ever promised in his word? We have already. So we can live as though we have. You say, well, that's being a hypocrite. Well, if that's so, then that would be challenging the fact that God could not lie. God cannot lie. His word is true. Amen. Future faith is the devil's way. Present faith is God's way. Simple, isn't it? We never come to the moment of obtaining what we are seeking. That's the devil's way. We are willing to accept the devil's tomorrow when we would never accept his no. We have hope still, but we've given up faith. However, God does not put us off until tomorrow. He says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God lives in the eternal now. To faith, God never reveals himself, absolutely never, as the God I was and the God I will be, but the God of the I was, the God that I am, and the God that I will be. I'm all of it. When you were in the was, I was with you. When you're in the is, I'm with you. When you're in the will be, I'll be there. Faith says God's going to be there. Faith comes to church and says, I'm going to come into the presence of the Lord. That's the person that gets in that day. Would God we have more people? Not just barely drag in here and hope for the better. We have the better. We have Jesus Christ. It is always the present and the now is the God of forever. In Mark 11:24, Jesus told us, therefore I say unto you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe you have received them. Not that you will receive them, but that you have received them. Faith takes it. When you pray, it said, and you're asking, at the moment you're asking, take what you're asking. Receive. Because if you receive what you're asking at the moment of asking, it will be done unto you. That's what he said. If you receive it at the point of asking, there'll be a moment where it will be granted to you. Now notice the difference of words, receiving and granting. Receiving is at the beginning. Granting is at the end of the line. What else was at the beginning of the line that we've talked about tonight? Faith. What's at the end of the line? Hope. So when you ask, receive. That's faith. And you shall have it. It shall be granted unto you. Why does he say shall be? Because he puts it in tomorrow. Who lives in tomorrow? Hope. Hope will be satisfied, but only if you receive it at the point of asking. What's the point of saying, oh God, you know, please heal this situation of mine? If you don't believe yourself that you're going to get what you're asking, don't bother. You've got to receive what you're asking from God at the moment you're asking. Lord, I speak into this kidney in the name of Jesus that it be healed. Now that's a word of faith. If you don't believe yourself when you're asking something that you're actually receiving it, you'll never get the answer for it. Receiving and granting, keep that in mind. When Jesus tells us to receive what we pray for at some undetermined point in the future, then what's the point in even asking? Why don't I wait until the future comes up and then ask? Amen? If I know that in 2020, I'm going to get what I would have asked for right now, I'm going to wait until 2020. Therefore, we know that what we asked for will be granted to us. Granting still remains in the future, but receiving by faith takes place when we pray. Having received now by faith, we know that at God's appointed time, the things we received at the moment we prayed will actually be granted unto us. For faith to receive is, in the present, the manifestation of what we have received, that will be in the future. But without present faith, there is no assurance of future manifestation. Amen.